Hello and welcome. Let's quickly take a look at a big fight that has taken place between the Trinamool Congress chief, Mamata Banerjee, the chief minister of West Bengal, and the prime minister. What exactly happened? Well, this is the Cyclone Yaas impact, where the prime minister as well as the West Bengal chief minister was supposed to meet on the impact of Cyclone Yaas. They did meet, however briefly, they did meet. But then PM Modi and Mamata Banerjee met only for 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes. But the West Bengal chief minister skipped a review meeting chaired by the prime minister. She had other plans, right? So all this drama unfolding in a state which has been battered by a cyclone. These are the pictures. Let's zoom into this so that you can see what happened. That's the prime minister, the governor, certain officials of the administration. Interestingly, Mr. Shuvendu Adhikari right here can be seen. Now, a question is being asked, why a leader of opposition has been invited in the Prime Minister's meeting? Because this is not something which usually happens. Leader of oppositions are not invited. And this row that you see right here, let me zoom in. Just look at this. This is where officials of the West Bengal government were supposed to sit, including Mamata Banerjee. These seats were empty. So the Prime Minister kept waiting over there for about 15-20 minutes, close to a half an hour is what we are being told from BJP sources. Mamata Banerjee left a presentation for the Prime Minister to watch and left. She said she has important meetings. This is her explanation at 3:47 p.m. today. She says, after having review meetings in Hingalganj and Sagar, I met the Honorable Prime Minister in Kalaikunda and apprised him regarding the post-cyclone situation in West Bengal. The disaster report has been handed over for his perusal. I have proceeded now to review the relief and restoration work at Digha. So in a way saying that we are hit by a cyclone and I do not have time right now, certainly to sit down for a review meeting. So I've met you, handed over the documents, and now I'm proceeding to the next spot. It all appears fine. But the point is, this has kick-started a reaction. Reaction first by the governor of West Bengal, Mr. Jagdeep Dhankar, who says it would have served interests of state and its people for the chief minister and officials, for Mamata Banerjee, to attend the review meet by the prime minister. Confrontational stance ill serves interests of the state or democracy. Non-participation by the chief minister and officials not in sync with constitutionalism or the rule of law. Jagat Prakash Nadda, who is the BJP president, tweeted in the evening where he said, when Honorable Prime Minister Narendra Modi stands strong with the citizens of West Bengal in wake of the cyclone, Mamata ji should also set aside her ego for the welfare of the people. Her absence from the Prime Minister's meeting is murder of constitutional ethos and the culture of cooperative federalism. Mamata Banerjee said, well, I'm only attending to the problem that is being faced by people in Digha. So, a clear round of politics has started between the TMC as well as the Bharatiya Janata Party, where the BJP feels that Mamata Banerjee has insulted the Prime Minister. Good evening and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 21, the oldest running debate show on Indian News Television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Well, a lot has been said about the fact that, and we have discussed this at length actually, of how we have not been prepared, how we have been caught off guard as far as this second wave is concerned. We are somehow dealing with the crisis. There are a lot of challenges. We are going to talk about those challenges. But now's the time to talk about future challenges, to make sure that something like what we saw in the month of April and May does not get repeated. Are we prepared? The first thing that needs to be done for us to be prepared to reduce or crush the wave or any subsequent wave is vaccination. Now let's take a look at these figures. The government has said that it will vaccinate 108 crore people, 108 crore people by the end of this year. A really ambitious target. We'll be proud of the country if we are able to achieve this. How will India achieve that target? What's the current rate of vaccination? Now, as on the 28th of May, 27th actually to be precise, the vaccination per day was about 29.2 lakh a day. That means we were vaccinating close to 30 lakh people a day. With this rate, it will take 1 year and 10 months to achieve our vaccination target. That would be roughly March 2023. Can we afford to do that? No. Now, if we have to reach this target set by the government of 31st of December 2021, which is the government's target, what the government wants to do, what do we need to achieve? We need to scale up our vaccinations to 90 lakh vaccines per day. 90 lakh. Present rate is close to 30 lakh. This is three times the current rate of the vaccination if we begin now. If we begin now, can we do it? How will we do it? Plus the logistical challenges. So the big question on the big fight tonight, tackling a third wave, what is our plan? That's the simple question that we want to put to all our panelists. I want to begin by introducing Dr. Randeep Guleria, Director of the All India Institute of Medical Sciences. Thank you very much, Dr. Guleria. My biggest question and the most important question is, among other things that we do, one of the ways to crush a third wave is to vaccinate fast. The government says, we'll do it by the end of this year. Do you think it's possible, Dr. Guleria?
So I think it's possible, but there are two or three caveats. The first caveat is that we should, in the next, let's say, 6 to 8 weeks, have enough doses available to be able to deliver that many vaccines per day, and that should be a target of 1 crore per day. Now, currently, we are not having that many vaccines available. But if you go by whatever data we have, it suggests that possibly by July, the middle or end of July, both from the Indian manufacturers and from manufacturers from abroad, and with the Sputnik, Covishield and Covaxin being available, we should have enough doses to be able to vaccinate 1 crore per day. But that is going to happen only sometime in July. And therefore, the next month is also going to be a little bit of a slow vaccination month because of the available doses. It has to be linked to the number of doses. And therefore, if I may just add, if we need to really prevent or decrease the third wave, then during this interim time, we have to be very careful and sort of learn from the past in terms of having a very graded approach in terms of unlocking, making sure that we are very strict about COVID-appropriate behavior. Don't allow crowds to develop like we did last time, which could become super spreading events. And also have a very aggressive surveillance so that any area which really shows a rise in the number of cases, your positivity rate going up, your beds in the hospital going up, a very aggressive lockdown is really instituted in that area, with aggressive testing, tracking, treating, and continuing to ramp up our testing, so that till such time that we vaccinate a large number of people, we are able to really aggressively follow the non-pharmacological strategies.
Correct. Now, you see, Dr. Guleria, obviously what is part and parcel of a crisis is shortage, and we've seen how that has unfolded. First, a shortage of remdesivir, shortage of beds, shortage of oxygen, now shortage of black fungus medicine. Clearly, the answer is in vaccination. How do you make sure that logistically our plans are in place? You say that we should be in a position to vaccinate 1 crore people a day. I want to ask you, can we? Do we have the systems? Do we have the provisions?
So I think we do have the provision. India has been vaccinating for a long time. And if you look at how we've been doing it over the last few months, although, like you said, the number is not as much as 1 crore a day, but if we spend the next few weeks in working in terms of developing a strategy, especially in my mind, reaching out to rural India and developing a strategy where we can have camps in, let's say, community centers or mobile vaccination program in rural India, I think we can achieve this target. And I also think that maybe because of the second wave, the vaccine hesitancy that we were seeing has been replaced by vaccine eagerness. So there are people now who are wanting to get themselves vaccinated. We need to develop a strategy which is user-friendly. And that means both using the app, but being able to do it without using the app also.
Dr. Guleria, now, you know, if we don't vaccinate fast, the problem is, and a lot of people want me to ask this question of you, when will we be in a position to give people booster shots? For instance, the frontline workers got their first jab way back in January and February. You yourself got it back in the day. Obviously, these vaccines, in order to produce the required antibodies, will have a shelf life. We'll need to top it up with perhaps another round or another dose of the vaccine. If we don't vaccinate everyone fast, do you think we'll reach a situation where by the time we complete one phase, we'll already be in a situation where we'll have to go for these top-up vaccines?
So it's possible that we may need to have a booster dose maybe by early next year. But I think it's too early to say when we'll require it and which vaccine should we give as far as the booster is concerned. We need more data for that. There is some data which suggests that the immunity in people who get the infection can be long-lasting. So it's possible that even with the vaccination, the immunity may be long-lasting. But I do agree with you that we may need to have a booster. We may also need to have a booster which is tweaked so that it covers for newly emerging variants, which may happen, say, 6 months or 1 year down the line. So it's difficult to predict how things will be in the future. But yes, we will probably for some time need to have a booster vaccine on a regular basis, at least the high-risk group or those who are the frontline workers.
Interesting. Dr. Guleria, now, you know, it'll be a moment of great and incredible pride for India to be able to complete this ambitious target of vaccinating all by the end of December. Because, you know, look at our population. This other countries cannot even imagine. Now, my point is, how big a challenge is this going to be in states like UP and Bihar, where they're 3 percentage points below the national average of people having received both the doses, even now? I mean, in the overall all India figure is at 4%. UP and Bihar is at 1% right now.
So I do agree with you. So what I think is what we will need to do is look at it state by state, region by region, try and sort of find out the reason why it's not picking up in that area or it's not working, and look at local solutions. Like I said, in UP, you could have a solution that you need to have a more outreach program and really reach out to citizens there, because they may not be coming to vaccination site or may not be that tech savvy. You may have the rural population, which is a little bit still apprehensive. And then you need to develop a good communication strategy. Whereas you may have other areas where the solutions may be different. In the Northeast, for example, where because of large distances, you will have to reach out in a different manner. So I think what we need to do in the next few weeks till we ramp up our vaccination and have enough doses available is develop strategies which are locally doable and which look at the solutions at that point in time rather than having one national strategy which may not work in certain regions.
Very significant, and that requires decentralization and centralization and constant communication at every level, not just at government to government level, but at all levels. Dr. Guleria, you know, I really hope that come December 2021, you and I are in a conversation where I can congratulate you, we can congratulate each other for this great achievement. I mean, when the government announced today that we'll vaccinate all by December, I was pretty excited, because if we do this, we'll be able to achieve, you know, this will be a mean achievement. Nobody else would have ever been able to do something like this.
I agree with this. This will be the largest vaccination program globally. Currently, if you look at what we've vaccinated, the amount of vaccination we've done currently is like one country in Europe. But when we achieve this target in December, it will be unmatched. And therefore, I think this will be a moment of pride. And I think all of us, and that includes all the citizens, should come together and work in making sure that this succeeds, because this is one way of coming out of this pandemic.
Correct. Dr. Guleria, thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us. So how do we do this? Those important points that Dr. Guleria mentioned, it requires to a great extent political solutions as well. And today on The Big Fight, we are going to invite the politicians to ask for the solutions. We've seen enough tutu meme, enough. What are the solutions? I have with me Mr. Dinesh Trivedi, senior leader of the BJP, and T.S. Singhdeo, health minister of Chhattisgarh. Thank you very much to the two gentlemen. Mr. Trivedi, I want to begin with you. Rahul Gandhi today said that he is not the enemy for this government. He is only giving suggestions. Don't consider him the enemy, right? Do you think that the time has now come to make a common enemy, whether it is the opposition or the treasury benches, that common enemy is the virus, just for these 6 months? Vaccinate everyone and then we can continue with this tutu meme endlessly.
Saket, let me compliment you that it's a fresh air today, I feel, when we are talking about solution. Everybody has agreed on one thing, and I'm sure my friend Mr. Singhdeo will also agree that this is more than like a warlike situation, because in a war, you know the enemy. Here, the enemy is changing color every minute, every second, every hour, and we don't even know. So, it's like a havan. We all need to come together and be positive about it. There is enough blame game. And that's why I said that we have to move forward, because we all are in a ship, whether it's the president of America, whether it's the prime minister of UK or the home minister of India, it touches everybody. None of us are safe. So please understand, this is a common cause. We are in a building which is under fire. Having said that, I personally feel that we have to recognize some of the facts. One big fact, demand supply of vaccine. Second big fact, huge population of India. And Dr. Gurelia very well said that we are vaccinating as much as a country. So the solution is, number one, be positive. Because government in their right, no matter what blames the government is taking rightly, wrongly, I don't want to get into that, but they are doing their work, right? One is vaccination. And second thing is drug. DRDO is working hard. They have come up with the drug also. I was the health minister during H1N1. And we had this drug called Tamiflu. This virus is going to be there. I don't think so. It's going to go out in a hurry. So it's a great idea. The country comes together, and I have no doubt about it. When a country comes together, India can show the way to the world.
You know, the thing
one crore a day is absolutely possible.
1 crore a day is possible. But see, the country will come together. It's the politicians and the respective governments that they hold. Are they going to work in a synchronized way? That's the bigger concern. Mr. Deo, let me come to you now. Mr. Deo, many leaders, including your leader, have criticized the government on the handling, on the coronavirus handling. Now, my point is, we are not going to go into those big issues. I'm only going to concentrate on vaccination. Do you think that we need a national vaccination strategy very quickly, which includes a constant monitoring along with states, constant participation along with states?
Good evening, Sanket ji, and good evening, Dinesh ji. Thank you so much for the kind words and your expectation that I would be positive. Most certainly, we would all like to contribute towards getting beyond this pandemic. It's a situation which has come about in a century or so. As far as vaccination is concerned, Sanket, the whole issue is about the supply situation. The politics starts within that. How much we don't have any shortage. So it's time to leave all that behind. I'm in full agreement with Dinesh ji.
Correct.
That all those negative thoughts, all those negative talk must be left behind. The government, whether it is of the center or whether it is of the states, must be forthcoming to state exactly what the situation is. We were talking about targets. There is no issue at all between the government of India managing the supply of vaccines and the state governments vaccinating the people. There is no issue at all. The only issue is of the availability of vaccines. And I was listening to your talk with Dr. Guleria and the time span that we are seeing. What is the availability of vaccines today? Let us say it is 8.5 crores. How long will it take us to vaccinate 140 crore or give 140 crore doses? 80 crore people, 20 crore we vaccinated. We need to vaccinate 160 crores. So 140 crore more doses to be vaccinated, it will take 16 and a half months. If we have 10 crore vaccines in a month, it will take 14 months. If we have 20 crore vaccines in a month, it will take 7 months. That is the deadline the government of India has today fixed. End of December, we'll have vaccinated everybody. If we can vaccinate 30 crore people in a month, 1 crore per day, we'll be done within 4 months and 20
no,
days.
No, I understand, Mr. Deo. You're saying availability is the problem. Now, yes, assuming these availability issues are fixed, I'm saying even inoculation drives and processes are going to be a logistical challenge. I'm consciously not using the word nightmare. It'll be a huge logistical challenge in a country like ours. Are we working together, center and state, together to be able to form this? How else will we achieve?
There is no issue at all, Sanket, as far as the logistics of vaccination are concerned. Because the vaccination program will be entirely the state government's job. Nobody will be stepping on each other's toes here. Hmm. The vaccines, once they are made available, the state governments have a full capacity to vaccinate within the stipulated, let us say, 7 month period. Hmm. If 1 crore vaccines are to be delivered in 1 day, Chhattisgarh is 2.16% of the population of the country. So how many vaccines are we to deliver in 1 day? 2 lakh vaccines. Mm. What is our capacity to vaccinate? 3.5 lakhs. So there is no issue at all. Mm. We've done so many vaccination drives. We've done the polio vaccine, polio drops campaign. So many other vaccinations are done throughout the year. I can assure you, no state government, except maybe exceptions where there would be logistics of traveling, geographical impediments. That apart, there is no issue. Not a single drop of iota of doubt.
So you're saying apart from the availability of the vaccines, you need no assistance from the center and you'll be able to sail through in states.
Elder brother should keep a watch on us and when we are doing well, say well done. And if we need to be perked up somewhere, they should say, okay, just see this, you're falling behind. That's all. The vaccination drive is entirely the responsibility of state governments.
Okay.
And
Mr.
we should do it.
Yeah,
we'll
Mr. Trivedi. Mr. Trivedi, I want to come back. In this light, do you feel that the center has to assume that responsibility of the elder brother as far as the inoculation drive is concerned? I mean, you know, this whole to each state his own, go and get your own vaccine, float global tenders. Now, obviously, that will not work. The center knew that it will not work because there are no vaccines.
Sakhi, I'll just take half a minute to correct that statement.
Sure.
Because initially, government of India had taken, and they are still taking the responsibility. I think yesterday, Niti Aayog gave all the clarification to that. It was only some of the states, may not be Jharkhand, but some of the states requested that why don't we also have the liberty to import ourselves? So government of India didn't stop their work. They said, okay, so be it. But then they realized that the vaccine manufacturers refused. And that is why not that government of India has stopped. So that misunderstanding needs to be clarified once and for all.
Sure, sure.
So now in case of the availability of vaccine, and I totally agree with Mr. Singhdeo, that the center government is working on war footing. See, if you realize, first week of May, and today almost end of May, nobody realized that within the short period, at least the situation will come somewhat under control. And that can only happen like we work together and stop, which I emphasize, and I'm again telling you, like they say, Mile sur bera tumhara to sur bane hamara.
But for that, the center also has to work for...
And Sanket, I just tell you...
No, Mr. Trivedi, center, many leaders of the central government, as well as, members representing the BJP, also have to milau that sur, no?
No, no doubt about it. Center is doing their best. You have the foreign minister 3 days in USA. What is he doing there? He is getting the global support. And please understand, this particular virus not only India has to come together, the world has to come together. I will remind you that when it happened in China in the month of January, the world was celebrating Christmas, New Year, marriage, wedding, everything. We did not realize, now nobody is talking, how come you are not prepared? The world was not prepared. This has come like a tsunami. And if I can request you something, don't take it otherwise.
Sure.
Media anchors also must not get four different politicians and make them fight. I never go to a show if I tell them that I'm not here to fight. We are going to...
You know, apart from the name, Dinesh Bhai, apart from the name of the show, I don't see any...
I'm not questioning that.
It's a 21-year-old name which I can't change. So apart from that, I think things are pretty pleasant.
I'm not even going on the show. I complimented that you are one of the first anchors who have started this positive. And I tell you, here is Mr. Singhdev and myself, we are on the same page. We cannot differ because India is much greater than any political party or individual.
Well said.
And this is where the nationalistic feeling. This is a war.
Well,
and the war, we don't know the enemy. So, and be let us selfish. Our own family, your known people, my known people, doctors, whether it's opposition, ruling party, everybody has lost our near and dear ones. We are all under some kind of a depression.
Correct.
So we have to get out of that. Be positive.
Correct.
And thank you again, Sanket, for the show.
My pleasure, sir. Let's hope you learned men are able to convince some people within your own political parties to be able to follow the same spirit. We only have one dushman. Rahul Gandhi used this word dushman, that I am not the government's dushman. Well, there is only one dushman for everyone in this country, and that's the virus. Thank you very much, Mr. T.S. Singhdev, as well as Dinesh Bhai Trivedi, for joining us. We're stopping for a short break at this moment. When we come back, we'll be speaking to doctors and experts on what plan needs to be put in place. What should our plan be to crush a third wave and get rid of the virus and save this country from the horror that we saw in the second? Be right back. All right, joining us right now is Dr. Habil Khurakiwala, founder chairman of the Walk Hard Group. Thank you very much, Dr. Khurakiwala. I want to ask you, you know about the vaccination problem. We can say that there is no shortage, but there is one. It's pretty obvious. You've been talking a lot about the solutions. How can you help or your company help as far as dealing with this demand-supply problem?
Actually, I was not able to hear you properly, but what I understand is what is our strategy for the vaccine?
Correct.
Basically, what we requested the government, basically, to that we are capable of creating a capacity of 2 billion doses.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is India has to play an important role for vaccine manufacturing in years to come. And we today manufacture 50-60% vaccine. And the requirement is very significant. So we said we can play that role. Government is supporting us. And we are in a currently a situation talking with a company, international company, vaccine manufacturer, to manufacture about 500 million doses of vaccine and create that capacity. And we will start production sometime in September this year. It will get ramped up in 6 to 8 months so that the full capacity, when it comes, it will be something of the order of 500 million doses per year.
Dr. Khurakiwala, would you like to tell us which company is this? What vaccine?
It's a confidential arrangement. We are already technology transfer.
Sure.
And as soon as we finalize an agreement, I will be able to communicate the name of the company.
No, just trying my luck. Is it part of the the vaccines that the government has considered, the 216 crore doses plan? Is this part of the same plan, or is this going to be over and above?
I don't think the government has factored our capacity in their plan, and we should be able to give some quantity, but not very significantly during current year. But the issue is this pandemic is going to be there for a few years. And even if the pandemic goes, vaccination would become a requirement for many, many more years to come. And therefore, India has to create a stable position to make vaccine available for all its population at a reasonable and affordable price. And that is something we have offered. We will maintain the price level, which is government has, not only for central, but state government and all government bodies.
This, Dr. Khorakiwala, I'm very curious. That's why I'm asking again and again. Is this going to be a single dose vaccine which you are planning to produce, a double dose vaccine? Will it? Can it be maintained under normal temperatures like 2 degrees to 8 degrees?
Let me mention to you that the one which we are signing up and which will be manufacturing initially would be a 2-dose vaccine. But also we are in hoping that government could help us to get one or two other existing vaccine manufacturer so that we can diversify the portfolio and make more vaccines available.
Have you approached the government, Dr. Khorakiwala? Because ideally this should be music to the ears of the government. Here you are offering a solution.
Government is very supportive of this idea. They've already talked to a number of manufacturers to give technology to us, and we are in discussion with that. We also ask government help for financial help, not in terms of grant or something, but I said, you give us funding with the banks and we'll repay the banks. So government has agreed to that proposal also.
Sure. Nice. Dr. Khorakiwala, my final question, what's your capacity? For instance, this vaccine that you have signed up for a technology transfer, you're saying that you will be able to manufacture 500 million doses by the year 22.
Yeah, see, we will ramp up capacity in the next 6 to 8 months. And once it's a full capacity, we can manufacture 500 million doses per year.
Per year, okay. Apart from that, you're saying that for the existing existing vaccines also, how much is the capacity that you have?
No, we don't have any capacity for existing vaccine. This is our total capacity would be there for vaccine.
Okay.
It is initial stages. And if we get new technology, we'll build up a capacity to the extent of 2 billion doses.
Okay, great. Let's hope this works out, Dr. Khorakiwala. And thank you very much for offering the solution. The country needs it most, especially at this time. Thank you very much.
Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, let me introduce now Dr. Sangeeta Reddy, the immediate past president of FICCI and the joint MD of Apollo Hospitals Group. Thank you very much, Dr. Reddy, for joining us. Dr. GSK Velu, he's the chairman and managing director of the Trivitron Group of Companies, also the chairman of the Tamil Nadu State Council of FICCI. And we have Brigadier Dr. Arvind Lal, he's a Padma Shri, chair of the FICCI Swasth Bharat Task Force. He's also the executive chairman of Dr. Lal Path Labs. Thank you very much. I want to start with you, Dr. Reddy. You know, we've been discussing solutions here, what we can do to ramp up vaccines, because this is going to be the biggest solution. The most efficient way to be able to crush a third wave, which is potentially, as some experts say, not the government, for want of studies, is going to impact children too, right? We see an alarming increase in the number of cases infecting children in Maharashtra. As far as our vaccine strategy is concerned, Dr. Reddy, what do you propose or what do you think needs to be done as we go along and quickly?
So, Sanket, first, good evening, and thank you for having us on this show. It is truly of national importance that we get the entire country vaccinated. And towards this, I think everybody's working towards the same direction. I believe there is a consensus on what needs to be done, which includes, number one, ramp up the number of vaccines available. And I'm happy to say that from what we're hearing now, my expectation is by August, we will see a significant larger availability of vaccines from multiple sources. Whether this is the fact that Covaxin has ramped up capacity, Covishield has ramped up capacity, and also that Sputnik has 5 other companies that are licensed and their new production comes into bear. However, the fact is that we need to do so much more, and at the current capacity, our projections with everything that's been spoken about so far, we believe that about 70% of the population that is older than 45 years of age, but only 23 to 30% of the population, which is older than 18 years of age, would have been covered by August. And this is still a significant achievement, and there's a lot to be done to get there. However, we cannot take our eyes off the ball. We need to keep working further. And I think the simple target is to move up first to the capacity that we had earlier, which is vaccinating about 45 lakh people per day, and then as quickly as possible. And this is a supply issue, this is a logistics, and this is a number of vaccinators and number of locations giving vaccines. But we need to take that up to 90 lakhs per day. And if we can get there, then we keep moving till we have reached that magic number. And hopefully, by December, we project that the entire country, if we all work on this together, by December, the country should be safe. This is indeed the pure vaccination strategy. In the middle of this, we also need to stay vigilant about the third wave. But I think you're going to come to that later. So let me stop for now with these numbers on the vaccination hope and the vaccination plan.
Absolutely. Dr. Velu, you know, that point that Dr. Reddy was mentioning on preparing for a third wave, one effective way, of course, is vaccination. So I would like your comments on that. But apart from that, you know, what can be our learnings from our experience in, you know, or failings as far as handling the second wave is concerned?
Thank you, Sanket. Thanks for having me on the show. And mainly what we are looking for is, you know, we have learned a lot. In this first wave, I think we took, you know, we were not very careful about what we learned from the first wave. Particularly, see, we did a lot of healthcare facilities, even temporary facilities, and all was removed. We thought we already conquered the COVID, and we started celebrating. I don't think it's just the government which is responsible. We as citizens also, we let our guard down. So we should first keep the guard going on. Then second is, I think we should not look at it as any response to COVID. For example, as a country, we are not spending enough on healthcare. And we don't have enough ICU facilities. We don't have enough oxygen plants. We don't have enough, you know, ventilators. So all this has to be done as, you know, whether we have a third wave or fourth wave, we should continue to upgrade healthcare facilities. And we need to start increasing. All of us in FICCI and other organizations, we have been telling, we are spending the lowest when it comes to healthcare expenditure compared to any other, you know, developing country. So we should be increasing our spending on healthcare for sure. Then another important thing is, we should also keep the COVID appropriate behavior until 80% of the vaccination is completed. So I don't think we should take out masking or, you know, hand hygiene or social distancing. We should avoid long, large gatherings. You know, that is one of the big reasons for what we are facing today, and that should not be allowed for some time for sure. Then definitely we also have medical professionals. We, as I know, in the healthcare, we saw that there is still shortage of doctors, shortage of nurses, shortage of medical professionals. We have to start working on it. Government should do some quick recruitment. I think the frontline workers are lacking. I think both in private healthcare, we are running short of them, and government is also running short of them.
Very interesting.
So we need to start recruiting people fast. So these are all the things which we need to do. Vaccination, we know we vaccinate more, it is going to be best for the country. We can learn it from other countries like US today. They have come out of this by going for rampant vaccination. So that's important. But apart from that, I think we should overall upgrade the healthcare infrastructure in this country. And it has been a wake-up call for all of us. We cannot talk about economical growth without having healthcare sufficiency.
I think that's a very, very important suggestion. There are a lot of people who say that, you know, the healthcare budget should be at least 6% of our GDP. I don't know, Dr. Velu, how much do you think it should be? Maybe you can spell it out.
Almost, now 9% of GDP. So if we
and where are we right now? I think around
3%, 1.5% by government.
1.5, yeah.
Okay. 1.5 by the government, 3% by private, maybe around 4.5. We have to double it minimum, if not more. And
absolutely,
US is spending 17-18% of GDP on healthcare.
Now that's a long-term plan, but it needs to be initiated. Ideally, it should have been initiated after the first wave. But you know, these things take time. But Dr. Lal, I want to come to you now. What also needs to be ramped up is testing. We've seen that right from the very beginning, one of the big problems that we've been facing as far as handling COVID-19 is our testing mechanism. Even in the second wave, we saw that the sudden influx of flow of the number of people trying to get tested made the entire testing system collapse. Do you think that this should be an urgent priority as we continue with our inoculation drive?
Thank you, Sanket. I think you've hit the nail on the head. The whole management of COVID starts from testing, and then comes tracking, and then comes treatment. But these days, you can call it tika. Tika lagao, COVID bhagao. So testing cannot be underestimated. That is for sure. And I can guarantee you that all the governments, state governments all over India, in the first phase, did not give us that kind of encouragement to ramp up the testing as much as we could have. So right now we have learned from our mistakes. And as far as testing is concerned, I can assure you that this is the least of the things you have to bother about. There are about 2,500 NABL accredited labs which are doing PCR, RT-PCR tests, which is the gold standard. And out of these, again, you'd be happy to know that more than 60% are private labs. Hmm. So we have risen to the occasion. And this time, given a little bit of encouragement, I think we will not fail. And Tika, of course, you've already talked about. And we can go on and on. You asked me
but
whatever.
But Dr. Lal, what about, you know, one is to ramp up RT-PCR, which is gold standard. But there are other tests also for COVID-19. Like for instance, I was reading there is a test called RT-LAMP, L-A-M-P. Right? Would you like to tell us whether we should be investing in new technology? Technology has a lot of solutions.
So these are slightly faster tests, but they are very, very expensive. So on a national scale, you will not be able to afford them. Hmm. So what you can do is to get a better sense of the rapid antigen tests, which when we started were only, you know, showing 30% positivity. I believe now it is up to 50%. And you should be able to, you know, have a strategy. For example, sure. The third wave is supposed to come up in the rural areas. Hmm. So you must have a rural strategy absolutely ready with you.
Well said.
And that will all the symptomatic
people. And it
people,
all starts with testing.
Absolutely.
Ramping up testing in rural areas.
Absolutely. And for every one positive, you have another five or six, you know, who are asymptomatic and who are absolutely, you know, spreading the virus to the other people.
Very well said.
So you have to take testing into account and do rapid antigen testing for those people who are symptomatic and take the RT-PCR route, you know, for those people who are around that people.
Okay. Very, very quickly, I want to come back to you, Dr. Reddy, to crush the third wave. What really should be the strategy?
So I think it's a combination of multiple things. Number one is readiness. Number two is awareness. We cannot let our guard down. Number three is to catch it early. We cannot wait for it to reach 20,000 per day in a city for us to start reacting. Because by then, there are already enough people infected who are infected others and the incubation time. So keep on watching. This is critical. Enhance our genetic testing so that we continue to watch for variants, because that is another thing which throws us off guard. Look for variants. And this cycle keeps on going. So enhance the infrastructure spend, bring in and keep readiness and more availability of all supplies, manpower and testing. Mm. Keep on watching and then move in very quickly into strategies of micro-containment.
Sure.
But ultimately, I think we're all in agreement of the fact that the biggest deterrent of a third wave is vaccination. So continue to vaccinate as fast as we can.
I like it how doctors say three times. You know, this is very interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Reddy.
It's like a mantra.
It should be the nation's mantra. Thank you very much, Dr. Velu, Dr. Lal, as well as Dr. Reddy for joining us with these solutions. And since we are talking about solutions, here is one coming in from Haryana, where a public-private partnership has come about as far as looking for solutions. We have with us right now Mr. Devinder Singh, Additional Chief Secretary of the Government of Haryana. Thank you very much, Mr. Singh. And Puneet Ranjan is the Global CEO of Deloitte. Thank you very much. My first question to you, Puneet, you've partnered with the Haryana government on a project. Would you like to tell us a little more about it?
Deloitte is doing multiple things. First, we have 50,000 professionals in India, and our obligation is to protect and support them. And we're doing everything we possibly can to do that. Second, we have partnered with 40 other U.S. multinationals, and we are providing assistance like oxygen concentrators and ventilators. But third, which I'm very excited about, is the partnership that we have with the government of Haryana. as well as with PHFI, which is the Public Health Foundation of India, and PGIMS, which is the premier medical institute in Rohtak, to provide assistance in an integrated way to hard-to-reach communities. And what we have done is we have launched a pilot program in Karnal district, and that program is focused on creating a command and control center, leveraging telemedicine, virtual health, and we've done some very creative things there. We'll talk about that. And also leveraging things that are unique to India,
sure,
like the Anganwadi and the ASHA workers, as well as an education and awareness program, a three-tiered medical hospital structure to try and get medical assistance around COVID to hard-to-reach communities all over the district of Karnal. And our hope is, and it's been done in record time working with the government of Haryana, it's been a great collaboration, as Devinder likes to say, a public-private collaboration with purpose. It's been delivered in 3 weeks, and our intent is to try and replicate it in other districts and hopefully statewide.
Okay. Mr. Singh, how exactly is this partnership going to help the government in the future? You know, this public-private model.
Precisely this model in which both of us had alignment of thoughts in terms of strengthening the supervised home care system. Because we realized that when the second wave was at its surge, at its peak, then about 6% of the COVID positive cases were in tertiary healthcare and 94% were essentially in their homes. So we wanted to strengthen and make it more robust, the supervised home care system, in a manner so that it becomes a replicable, scalable and sustainable model, which not only takes care of the third wave, second wave, and then of potentially third wave and even beyond. So to that extent, I think it was a highly successful collaborative venture. And I think Puneet came forward from Deloitte instantly, because I think on 10th May, we made a presentation and he says, what you are saying is like music to my ears, because we really want to strengthen the supervised home care system, because that is where the bulk of the patients are. And they were anxious, they were uncertain, panic-stricken, fear-stricken, and thinking whether they'll get a bed or not. The tertiary care system was overwhelmed, because everything was like 3x.
Yeah.
If you compare the first wave and second wave, it was 3x. So therefore, it was important that apart from strengthening the tertiary healthcare system, where there was pressure on ICU beds and oxygen,
correct,
we wanted to strengthen the supervised home care model. And that is what Deloitte also wanted. So therefore, we clicked from the word go. It was a great collaboration, both teams together. You know, from 10th May, we started, and 24th May, it was inaugurated by Honorable CM. So you cannot imagine 14 days flat, we were able to implement the model. And it cost about 5 crore rupees. So there was procurement of material, equipment, services, as Puneet mentioned. And all of that happened in a very ethical procurement mechanism. And everything done with due diligence.
But you know, Mr. Singh,
it is easily scalable. Yeah.
Okay, it's easily scalable. Interesting. But you know, Mr. Singh, you used an important word where you said that we need to reduce the load on the health infrastructure. Now, one of the ways to reduce that load on healthcare will be vaccinating fast. What are your plans subject to availability of the vaccine, and how soon can you vaccinate the population?
I think very relevant. Apart from this strengthening the systems, for the vaccination, you know, we have our PHCs, CHCs, and we have vaccination centers, both in the urban areas and the rural areas. And we have our, mechanism by which through the COVID protocol, where anybody books for a slot, so they can be vaccinated. And apart from that, there is a walk-in facility also available now in various government offices, where 15 to 20% of people walking in can also be vaccinated. So there is enough space and bandwidth created, not only in District Karnal, throughout state of Haryana, where we are ready with the supply issue sorted out, as you rightly said, to very quickly vaccinate, because we have capacity to, for example, in Karnal alone, we will be able to vaccinate at least 20,000 minimum per day. I mean, that is the minimum capacity we have. So therefore, just to give you an example, we have a population of 15 lakhs. So if you are wanting to cover, let's say about 60% of the population, which means about 9 lakhs people, and if you are doing every day 20,000-25,000, so you are talking about covering the entire population within a maximum period of 2 to 2.5 months. So we have that.
But that's just one area. Mr. Singh, that's just one area. What about the rest of the state?
So similar metrics, in fact, applies to the whole state. Practically, the infrastructure which I'm talking about, that can, you know, ipso facto be taken for the entire state also, which means the capacity to be able to vaccinate the entire eligible population can take no more than maybe maximum 3 months when the supply is available.
Okay. Mr. Puneet, how can your partnership help here?
Command and control center that has been set up for Sanjeevani can be replicated to monitor vaccinations. The education and awareness program, which is part of the integrated program, can be used to try leveraging the ASHA workers, can be used to increase knowledge around vaccination, why it is important, where is it available, etc. So the program that we've implemented in Karnal can be repurposed and replicated for vaccination as well.
This model, as I said, it is not only for tackling second, third wave, for all the community health initiatives, including vaccination. This is a model which is fit for purpose, as Puneet described. So we'll be able to leverage this for vaccination as well.
Okay, very interesting. Good luck to you. And let's hope that we can look at these solutions fast and vaccinate fast, because that seems to be something which is going to save us from this virus. Hopefully, there will be, as many people are saying, a third wave is inevitable. We have to be prepared, which is why, like a mantra, everybody keeps saying, vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. Good night and goodbye.